Good morning. My name is Teresa Coletta. Last week, we continued our Summer in the Psalms series, studying Psalm 69, crying out to God for the rescue from which drowns us. This morning, we are studying Psalm 27, a psalm that begins with a trusting tone, sinking into lament, and finally rising again to confidence in God. We will read the psalm responsively, where I read the leader part and you will read the congregational cues. A reading from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fail. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Do not give up to the will of my adversaries. The false witness have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. Wait for the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thank you.
Since we studied Psalm 19, I'm going to borrow a line from that to start my sermon. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So years ago, there was a young man who graduated from college and found a woman to marry, and they started a family. He ended up landing a great paying job in a field that he loved, and they had enough to make a down payment on their first home, and life seemed to be off to a great start. In this kind of adulting world, life was kind of unfolding exactly how they'd hoped and dreamed it would. And then a few years into the marriage, this young man discovered that his wife was exhibiting some mental health issues. And the problem that he quickly discovered was that in her worldview, both in her workplace and also in their home life with him and their children, and also in her family of origin, that everyone else was the problem. And she started alienating everyone who loved her. She started exhibiting some really risky behaviors, making some bad choices. It ended up, she even lost her job. And the family went through an incredibly painful season of their lives. Battered, bruised, and scared, this young man finally decided that something needed to change. And so he came in the middle of the day to a local church, found his way into the darkened sanctuary, reporting that there was only one light in the whole place, and it was the eternal candle. Ours hangs over here in our sanctuary. And this is a symbol, a reminder, a promise that God dwells here, that God is always present here. And the young man came before the altar and knelt, I think laying his head on the floor of the altar and sobbed, crying out to God. And his cries to God was pleading with God to come, pleading with God to be real, to reveal God's self to him during this time, to be present in a new way in this life journey. He remembers surrendering his life and his future over to God because he no longer knew how to manage it or what to do. He asked for God's protection of his life, of his family. And after some loud pleadings in that darkened sanctuary, he said he stood up and overwhelmingly had this new sense of purpose given to him. It was like a suit of clothes laid over him. He had a renewed identity as a beloved child of God, rescued from the God who created him, and a clearer sense of the hard work that he would need to do moving forward through this dark valley of life. Psalm 27 is a cry to God in a time of need. It is known as a lament psalm, which means that it is God's people laying out a very raw and real perspective of their life journey. It's also considered a trust psalm, which means that it shares a clear understanding, a clear identification or articulation of exactly who God promises to be, who God is. And these proclamations are captured here in Psalm 27. I put a few up on the screen. I think if we dug deeper and had more time, I could find more. But at least five ways that God reveals who God is in this Psalm 27. God is light. God is salvation. God is the stronghold of our lives. God is protector. And God is a faithful parent. And I'm going to dive into two of these to go a little bit deeper, which leaves a few more for you to go and study on your own over this week as you dig into Psalm 27 on your own. I'm going to start with God is light, since that was a part of that young man's story. And I think light is so prevalent and so one real way that we grasp who God is. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." Not only did God create light, the sun during the day, the moon by the night to guide us on this earth, God also thought of another way from the beginning that God could reveal God's self as light, and that is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning, John writes, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. So God is light through the sun and the moon of creation. God is light through Jesus Christ, his Son. And other parts of Scripture that are just so well known, Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And because we had a baptism today, I couldn't help myself by quoting again Matthew 5. "You are the light of the world," Scripture says. "A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but rather puts it on a lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. God is light through creation. God is light through Jesus. God is light through God's word. And we are people who totally rely on all of these truths. We rely on the sunshine in our lives. We rely on the sun to give us light, to see, to work, to recreate, to be in relationship with one another. We need the light for warmth of our earth, to grow things, to grow ourselves through the specific vitamins that come from the sun. And we get to see and enjoy the creation that God has blessed us with to live in. We are also totally reliant on God's Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who has come into this broken world to make us right with God. Jesus' light gives us hope in the midst of trouble and gives us salvation in the midst of death. And we, again, are truly, truly, totally reliant on God's word to remind us of who God is and how we can be drawn deeper into relationship with God, and also to be reminded who we are as beloved, created people of God. We, of course, are born with a purpose that is highlighted in the sacrament of holy baptism, that we are God's light and we're sent out to be the light for the world to see, to glorify God in all we say and do so that the world knows whom we belong to, God, our Creator. God is light. And this promise brings us a sense of security. It gives us assurance. It brings us guidance, promise, and a vision to see God for exactly who God is. God is light. But the other part of this young man's story that struck me was God as protector. And sometimes this makes me very nervous to talk about God as protector, because sometimes people use this as a way to elevate Christians over other of God creation. Somehow, because we say that we're Christians, we are more protected than others that God has created. Last week, we heard a story about a drowning. And it's hard for me as a pastor to hear about how a young boy survives a drowning, and in the same vein, the same day, how a young boy drowns and dies. And somehow we try to figure out, was God just somehow absent? Was he just too late for one boy and abundantly present for another? See, that doesn't make sense with the God that I know. And so we really have to understand what it means, what we mean when we say God as protector. I mean, God as protector doesn't mean if we just believe stronger or better than somebody else, or if we pray more consistently, or if we're in worship more regularly, or if we give our tithes to God, that somehow God is going to protect us more than someone who doesn't exhibit those patterns of faith. In fact, to drive this home, if we think about God as parent, if we think about God of creator, of course God wants all of creation to be safe. Of course God wants all that he has created to have protection. If you're a parent, you understand this. You want equal protection for all of your children, not just the ones who listen to you, right? Or dare I say, who take the time to worship you. We hope for equal protection of all of those in our care. And we are human, so what could God do differently? God could and should be glorified by somebody avoiding death or experiencing tragedy in an accident that could have changed their lives. And yet, that is a limited view of God's protection. What ultimately God is looking for and providing protection from is the enemy, the evil one, the devil. The temptation is to live in a permanent broken state without any hope and without any help. God wants to protect us from that kind of life. The protection then is really for our souls, for our emotional and spiritual well-being, rather than just limited to our physical well-being. We can take refuge in God and find comfort in God as our protector, because God continues to meet us along life journeys and give us exactly what we need. What that young man left the sanctuary with is a renewed purpose, he said. And what that looks like for me is an understanding that living in the house of the Lord his whole life long, which is also in the psalm, is not just a place. It's not just a location. It's wherever Christ dwells, you dwell too. There is a sense that God is with you, that God is protecting your very life, giving you a sense of self, a sense of God, and a sense of direction that leads you to a future filled with hope, even though your life looks like living in despair. God has got a hold of you, and God loves you with an unfailing parental love that will guide you through the joys and the difficulties of life. Today, we are given a gift here in worship, and the gift is that of being invited to come forward to celebrate and receive the gift of Christ himself in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Holy Communion is a time where God meets us exactly where we are in life's journeys. And God gives us a promise through the sacrament of forgiveness of our sins and a renewed life in Christ. Jesus physically enters into our bellies, into our very beings, and restores us and renews us from the inside out. God's protection comes inside of us as we surrender to Christ and open ourselves up to God's plan of abundant life for us. All of these statements of faith, proclamations of who God is in Psalm 27, all point to a very personal relationship with God. And our trust is God is who God says God is. Martin Luther once famously said that if God visited me tomorrow and announced that, you know, on second thought, Martin, I'm not sure if I'm going to save you, Martin's reply to his God would say, God, you're a day too late. I've already received and believe in your great promises. Knowing God and knowing God's promises guide us through our entire lives every day through the joys and the sorrows. And God's promises meet us again today here in this sanctuary, through the waters of baptism, through the gift of Holy Communion, in God's word, both read and preached and sung. And they bring us light, salvation, protection, the stronghold of our life, a parent's unconditional love. May it be so for you and me, and bring God glory. In Jesus' name, amen.